And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, we are in the immediate aftermath of the great victory by the ultra-right, one that they've been pursuing for 50 years, and one which they scored a signal series of victories in the last 3 weeks through the Supreme Court. And now they're consolidating, and they're making new plans to expand, which is, you know, what you do. When you win, you make sure you get everything you can get from your victory, and you lay plans to use that victory to get more. That's what they're doing. And naturally, progressive people are back on their heels, a little bit taken aback, didn't expect the loss, or if they did expect the loss, they didn't have any plans to cope with the loss. And here in Pennsylvania, we're at the forefront of all of this because we've got this fellow, Doug Mastriano, one of the leaders of the American Taliban movement, running for governor. I'd like to talk about that. You know him. Well, you don't know him personally, but you know about him.
Glad I don't know.
Yeah, and you know about his movement.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, you know, I've talked about this being as a hidden underground in Pennsylvania for a while now. I thought that Garrity, the state treasurer, was able to capitalize on this movement to defeat a popular state treasurer. And you know, we're now seeing them, you know, more to the forefront on this. And there's a number of elements to this, but essentially, they believe that they are destined by God to rule, and that it's that the only thing that can really stop them from ruling is if Democrats cheat. This is a corollary to the big steel lie of Donald Trump, and it's a theory of circular, you know, self-fulfilling logic that they're destined to win. If they don't win, it could only be by cheating. Therefore, any victory by their opponents is illegitimate. And their legitimacy comes from the dominion of God. They're dominionists.
They also make the point that there's no way to prove that the cheating took place.
Right, right. So, again, that's the line I heard about conspiracy theories. They all have something built in to explain why they're wrong.
Yeah.
That only goes to further support the conspiracy. So we can't prove what happened to make us lose. Therefore, there must have been something nefarious that happened.
That's right. And that was Giuliani's line. We have theories. We don't have proof.
We don't have facts.
Yeah, we don't have facts.
We don't have evidence. We don't have evidence.
That's it. We have theories. We don't have evidence. That's the line. That's the proof. That's the way it works. The lack of evidence is the evidence. That's an argument you can't lose.
That's well, yeah. Welcome to 1984.
Yeah.
But the movement.
Well, I didn't know about that. This is a tradition in American history. After all, in the Salem witch trials, the practice of dunking witches, you know, you tie them to a pole, you put the pole in the pond, you submerge the alleged witch. If the person dies, she was innocent. If the person survives, that proves the devil was protecting her. Right?
Yeah.
That's American tradition. According to the Supreme Court, we should do that.
But don't forget that's also part of the tradition of misogyny.
Well, that's something against that?
That's male-oriented religion.
Yeah. Well, listen, and what if it was attacked? What if you did it to males? Would it be any better?
No.
You can only win by dying. You can only prove your innocence by dying. Some victory.
Yeah. heads we win, tails you lose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The old line, but, you know.
But this is the point really is not the ridiculousness of their point of view, but the fact that they're gathering their forces and aiming to carry out a campaign to eliminate the difference between church and state, which of course means that public education falls down, fails altogether, becomes church education, lays the basis for all kinds of discrimination against the majority of the population, and on and on and on, right?
Yeah. No, there was always some debate on this, but the founders, particularly James Madison, was adamant about this this separation. They understood. They took a look at Europe, and they knew about the religious wars, 30 Years' War, and all of these other wars. Even with they were all within Christianity in those days. And they tried to make sure that didn't happen here. They said you're free to practice religion, but we can't have the state establish it. Interestingly, there have always been a few charlatans who try to make money off of the opposite idea, you know, and peddling to those who are willing to listen. Hoping for other things to have it the other way. There was a guy named David Barton that's for years has been going around and saying that the Constitution and Christianity are the same things and stuff like that. But he was pretty much alone. Now we have this more massive movement that has gained a lot of traction in certain areas. There was a big article in Salon magazine this week about Mastriano and these folks. It was interesting how they mixed the Bible with religion and how they appropriate, or I call it misappropriation, things from the Hebrew part of the Bible, the Old Testament, to apply within Christianity. They have embedded in that article, and I commend it to people to look it up, they have people blowing the shofar, including Doug Mastriano. There's actually two.
Well, they have a movement that has that as part of its tradition.
Yeah.
It's part of its
yeah.
activities. Yeah.
And they've been working on this. You know, for years we've had these Christian fundamentalists holding Passover Seders.
Yeah.
And then more recently, they've gone into the holiday of Purim with Queen Esther and standing up for her people and things like that. And they're incorporating that. And now they're into the Jewish High Holy Days with the shofar and with Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. It's a sight to behold to watch this on the embedded video in that that article. But this is where they're at. And this religious fervor that they bring to this.
Well, the plain fact is that this is not a flash in the pan. They're going to keep at this. They're going to build on it. If you don't think they're going to do that, just look back on the history of fighting against abortion rights. They took 50 years. They were annoyed that it took so long, but they kept at it. These people will keep at it. And they're going to, you know, they have this legal theory that they've developed, not this particular group, but the wider group of right-wing, ultra-reactionary, semi-libertarian thinking people. And this fits into their legal strategy. And they say, well, if it's not part of American history, not part of American tradition, you can't do it. I don't agree with that, but assuming that they're right, you know, it is true that James Madison wrote, the purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries. And John Adams wrote, the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. The United States is not a Christian nation any more than it is a Jewish or a Mohammedan nation. And Thomas Jefferson wrote, Christianity neither is nor ever was a part of the common law. So,
What do they care?
Yeah, what do they know?
What do they know? Yeah, but these folks, they ignore that sort of stuff.
Right, but we should keep, you know, if you think originalism makes sense, this is the original.
Yes, yes, it is. But, you know, a lot of this started with the Brown versus Board of Education, with the mixing of races in school, because a lot of what these people thought was that the races should be kept separate. It was a biblical requirement that we kept separate. And then we had the back in the early 60s, we had
appealing to a book whose contents were written before the concept of race existed.
Yeah. And then they had the idea that we had the rules that you couldn't have prayer in public school, and that really ticked them off.
Of course,
there was a question of whose prayer it was. You know,
right.
There was the Protestant version of the Lord's Prayer and the Catholic version,
and these are people who have been killing each other for hundreds of years over things just like which version of the prayer should you use.
Right.
They don't just argue; they kill each other.
It went on, and then abortion, which. You know, particularly a lot of Protestants that have now become evangelicals, but back even as late as the 1970s, their movement was not a anti-abortion movement.
It was a pro-abortion movement. They supported the abortion rights movement.
Well, one of the things is they wanted people to abort or blacks to be able to abort to keep their population down. And to keep the whites in power.
You know, the racists who controlled the governments in the South went much further. It was a standard practice. If a poor black woman came into the hospital for an operation, they'd sterilize her.
Yeah.
There were thousands, tens of thousands of forced sterilizations. The women never knew what happened to them. From the beginning of the 20th century up until the 1960s. Fannie Lou Hamer, the famous civil rights fighter, it happened to her. I mean, that's a woman many people who are listening to this may have met. She was, this is not ancient history.
But this is now.
That's who did it. These people who are fighting abortion, that's who did it.
Right. And this is now that movement. And interestingly, you know, there's the part of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. But they're willing to lie, cheat, and steal about it, to distort things and to say things and to avow to things that just aren't true. We even had it in the most recent Supreme Court ruling on prayer with the football coach. I think it was in Washington State, you know, where they said, well, you know, his wanting to kneel alone on the 50-yard line is nothing that should bother the bother the school district, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but he didn't kneel alone.
That's the thing, though. All the evidence in the trial, the pictures in the trial showed he was gathering crowds of people. But
in the first instance, gathering the kids, kids on the team, who if they didn't go pray with him, surely felt that they might not be featured in the game, wouldn't get to play.
And that's how they're unabashedly and unashamedly operating.
Yeah,
it's the ends justify the means, and to them. And you know, you're right. They are consolidating power, and they're planning to get whatever they can get. You know, they're talking about birth control, private marital rights, They want to control everybody. You know, they're against government controlling them, but they're willing to control everybody else.
Well, that's right. And you're talking about what people now call cultural matters, but it's directly political, because the next big move next year is going to be the court cases that say that the vote actually cast is irrelevant to the counting of the vote or to the certification of who wins the election. That the vote, the people who vote are not the ultimate people who should decide. It's the people who count who should decide who wins, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was Stalin, right?
Well, actually, Stalin didn't believe that. Actually, Stalin says something else. But whether it was Stalin or it was anybody else, it's not right.
No, no, not in democracy. But again, there, whether they believe in democracy is something.
But they don't believe in democracy.
Though that's the thing. They've turned their back on democracy because they can't win democratically. That we're back to Nancy McLean and in Democracy in Chains. Only that was, you know, that was the libertarians working on it. The libertarians are not for the mixture of church and state at all, but they've lost control of this movement on that that issue. You know,
no, people like Mastriani are not libertarians. They are statists. They are for a powerful state that will enforce their reactionary vision of how life should be led.
Right, and for all of the screaming that they did about a court that was activist, they have no problem when the activist court works in their favor.
The problem has been that the liberal movement has, over the years, more or less given in to the right-wing theory that the courts are sovereign, the courts should really decide ultimate matters, and that the courts are the venue for regulating society rather than politics. And therefore, they allowed the political movements that they led to atrophy. And you had situations like, here's Obama, who organized really a massive political movement, and as soon as he took power, he dissolved it. It's inconceivable to me that the events that happened in the country when he was president could have happened had his movement that elected him remained in existence.
Yeah, they lost 1,100 state legislative
That seats. Couldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened.
Shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have happened.
Well, if you dissolve the popular movement that brought you to power, what do you expect to have happen?
Yeah.
So, you know, the liberals have a lot to apologize for, and they need to change. They can't imagine that what they had been doing in the face of the failures that they have, you know, now so apparent, that they can continue to do it that way. Other leadership, other strategies have to come up. And I say other leadership because in the world, usually the same people can't adopt opposite strategies. You need new people who really believe in the new strategies to propose them and implement them. Yeah. In parliamentary systems, that's what happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the parliamentary systems worked in England, the UK this week. They continue not to work here, or the non-parliamentary system continues not to work here in America.
No.
When you have one party that's dedicated not to follow the Constitution or to invest itself in democracy at this point. And that's a serious problem. That's a serious problem. Let me go over a couple of things here. You know, in Pennsylvania, while we were fighting over the state budget this last week, the Republicans managed to insert a bill which is not a bill that can be vetoed by the governor for a constitutional amendment. This is what they've been doing to get around the veto power of the checks and balances of the governor. They've been running constitutional amendments. Ballot questions, and the amendment that they want is one that says that there is no right to abortion in Pennsylvania. Now, they don't go much farther than that, but it sets up the fact that if they ever gain control of both the legislature and the governorship, that they will restrict it.
And you know they have at least 10 more years of trying because they've gerrymandered the state for the next 10 years. They're going to control the legislature. If some kind of organizing on a statewide level doesn't happen.
Right, right. There is a chance they will not control the state house within a couple of years, but they'll work some other way to try to do this. You know, we've seen this in places like Wisconsin and North Carolina, where they lose power in the governorship, and they work around it.
But Wisconsin is the best example, right?
Yeah, but
the governor can win. The guy can win the governorship, but the other guy's appointees don't have to leave office if the Republican-controlled legislature doesn't approve the new governor's new appointees. Yeah. Then the old appointees stay in power. So therefore, you have a situation where you voted a new regime in, but the regime can't take power because the old guys don't have to leave. Yeah, and the court said that's the way it works.
Yeah, and the court in Wisconsin this week took away the power of people to use drop boxes for elections, which hurts the Democratic areas more than the Republican areas.
Right.
That kind of thing. And it goes on and on. And again, there's got to be, better organizing.
It's the old joke, right? I didn't borrow it. It was broken when I got it. It wasn't broken when I returned it.
Yeah. Right. Right, the contradictory phrases.
Yeah.
My business, it's the dog bite case, you know? I don't own a dog. It wasn't my dog. My dog doesn't bite.
Right.
You must have caused them to bite you, and the bite isn't so bad in the first place.
Right. Exactly.
That kind of thing. We've even had, good hints of this. In Arizona, that billionaire Peter Thiel is backing a candidate named Masters for the Senate to run against Mark Kelly. And Thiel has been quoted as saying he no longer believes that freedom and democracy are compatible. And of course, he comes on down on the side of freedom, not democracy. But what he really means is that democracy can constrain unbridled freedom that can hurt other people.
That's right. And it's true. Democracy will constrain freedom. If you want to have the freedom to own human beings and make them work for you as slaves, you don't have that freedom.
Right.
Well, the wealth in America up until 1860, the greatest concentration of wealth was the wealth embodied in slaves. And the slave owners had the freedom to have that wealth. The Civil War said that freedom is out. You don't have that freedom. Democracy does constrain the freedom of exploiters and enslavers. And that's the way it is because there are competing interests in society. What these guys really argue is that if the majority of the population who are working people vote their interests, their freedoms, the exploiters' freedoms, will be curtailed. That's true. And therefore, they're right to pit freedom against democracy. They're just on the wrong side of the beneficial, results of true democracy.
But the critique now of the Democrats is that what you said about their economic interest isn't what sells votes. What sells votes is the social. And the Republicans have found a way to exploit social issues like critical race theory and what have you into getting people to vote against their own personal interests. And as we said, I mean, that stuff went back to the Civil War down in the South, where the plantation owners got tens of thousands of men who never owned slaves and would never have the wherewithal to own slaves to fight for the right to keep slaves. Thomas Frank at the beginning of this century wrote a book about what's the matter with Kansas. Same thing. The social issues trump the economic issues.
That's true. People can be convinced of lies.
Particularly when you have a megaphone like Fox News.
Yeah.
Or so-called news. There that totally pumps falsehoods and one-sided presentations.
Right, but there's no sense pissing and moaning about it. You got to go fight it.
Yeah.
You got to go fight it. If there's a lot of money concentrated in Fox News, listen, there's a lot of rich people who are Democrats and who are liberals. They can't set up an alternative? Of course they could set up an alternative if they wanted to. In fact, the Clintons tried to at one point. They tried to set up something called Air America, a nationwide network of liberal talk stations, which failed because of incompetence and theft. It didn't fail because they didn't have the money. It didn't fail because they didn't have the audience. It failed because the people they put in charge of it stole the money. Just that simple. And then the thing collapsed. And the only thing that remained was Al Franken, who was the star of the network. He became a senator.
Oh, I think Rachel Maddow starred on there, didn't she?
I don't know if she started
sure.
on. I don't know about her. But Franken was the star of the operation.
He got the big bucks to start with. He was there. And what was her name? Randy?
Randy something. I forget her name.
And they also carried Tom Hartman.
That's right. But the point is that it was done in a haphazard, not serious way. It wasn't that the money wasn't there, and it wasn't that the talent wasn't there. It was that the seriousness wasn't there. Well, what if the seriousness was there? And people say, well, talk radio is so important, nobody quite realizes it, blah, 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 blah. But they did realize it.
Well, Rush Limbaugh was the classic example of the power of talk radio. He's single-handedly, ruined the word liberal for a long time. They felt they had to call themselves progressives. On that, and of course, now it's internet and QAnon, and where everybody has got an ability to have their say, and now we're into live streaming. You've got fellows like Steve Bannon and Joe Rogan out there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no sense complaining about them. There's plenty of equal talent, plenty of equal technological savvy, and plenty of money to pay for it on the liberal side. But they don't do it. They don't do it. And they should, that's what has to be criticized, and that's what has to be called to account. There's no sense paying for what doesn't work. There's no sense continuing to do what you already failed at.
Well, Einstein's theory, doing the same thing over and over again, is insanity.
Right. It's exactly right. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, it looks like Fetterman is slightly ahead of Oz, which is a shocker to me because I thought Fetterman ought to be way ahead of Oz. And it looks like Shapiro is way ahead of Mastriano. Another shocker to me. I thought it was much closer.
Yeah, that's the 538 evaluation of they ran 100 different scenarios. We'll have to see, right? Mastriano hasn't really cut any ads yet, but he's working behind the scenes. He's working in this religious network, and I think there's a certainty that he'll get his people out to vote.
Exactly.
The question is, Shapiro's trying to turn off any independents who might even be thinking of voting for Mastriano and trying to at least scare them into voting for Shapiro. This week he garnered a number of endorsements from a group of what we would call the old style Republicans in Pennsylvania, the former Congressman Charlie Dent, former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Schultz Newman, and those folks. I don't know how much sway they have now in the current Republican Party, but at least they're out there for him. I think he needs more than that. I think he has to scare the bejesus out of people to get them to vote for.
Well, I think you put your finger on it. This definitely is a turnout election. Whoever turns out the voters is going to win. Even if you don't turn out or win over a lot of Republicans, if you turn out the Democratic base in Pennsylvania, you'll win. You'll win the governorship. You'll win the senatorship. You won't win the state legislature. That's a different matter. Right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we still have a long way to go.
Well, we'll see you next week to see what we did this week. We're done now.
There's another hearing this week, so we'll see what happens. Maybe
Right. That's right. Okay. See you next week.
Have a good week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.